Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
From the beginning?
It was rough, Aaron.
Welcome back to Oakland Fed. This is take three of everything I've just said. But that's okay. We're the official Oakland Ed podcast. We're so pleased to have you back for all iterations.
We're just not used to having to do it so many times.
No, technology typically doesn't fail us. You're like the director of technology, and I learned from Ann Beck, so we should know what we're doing.
Technology is really farting all over itself today, so...
I don't even know what to say. I've already said it all. No, I'm just kidding. So we've got Kristen Ashley's chat this week. It's been a while since we recorded an episode. I apologize. Life has gotten in the way, but we've got it figured out. We're catching back up again. And we're talking reflection and vulnerability.
Yeah. What's in a mindset was what Kristen Ashley called her chat.
I really liked it. I do think she's a cheater, and I'll call her out on that later.
She got some tips from Kimberly Blodgett.
Who else does this? Somebody else says the Q1A, 1 through
25. Well, Vanessa Perez has done it a time or two, and Kimberly always adds like 15 questions on one
question. She's like, question one, what is your favorite color? When did you arrive at this favorite color? Who else has this favorite color? And what is a variation of the color? Question two.
God bless all of you ladies. You're amazing.
Yes, for sure. So what is in a mindset? Let's dive in. Do you want to?
Yeah, I want to. Let's go.
Okay. Well, at least all the question one and their subset questions all do kind of have a three-word theme going.
Right.
Question 1A, using three words, how would you describe yourself?
And I can't remember what I put.
I did not participate in this chat, but I really liked Chong Si Lor's three words. They all start with E, and I really love the letter E, because, when you do acrostic poems in, grade school, you have to come up with great E letters. Her name is Aaron. Sorry. I digress. Energetic, enthusiastic, and empathetic. I really like those. I think they are all great words that also start with the letter E.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, even just watching him through social media, because I've never met him, IRL, that they represent him based on what he shares. So. For sure. So I went with Jack Reed here. He said, determined to succeed. And I like that because, if somebody says, use three words to describe yourself, I try and think of three specific words.
Right.
And he used the phrase. That's a mantra. Yeah. And so I really liked his phrase. And I can't remember what I shared here, but it was something like, I shared two words and then I slammed three words together to make one word. So that I only had three words.
So I would probably cheat myself and use hashtags, which each hashtag would be its own word, right?
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So what was question 1B?
1B is using three words. How would your leadership describe you? Mm. And that's a great question. Just because you view yourself one way does not mean somebody else views you another way.
Right.
The same way.
Right.
But Jennifer Seitzinger said committed, questioner, learner. And I would have to say, based on her social media presence, I can confirm that I believe all three of those are things that qualify her in her education role.
Right. I went with Ann Beck here.
Yes.
Because this is how anybody would describe Ann Beck, probably. Hands-on technology.
Yes, that is.
So, yeah, she could answer that probably for all the three parts. It's been the same.
Question 1C is using three words. How does your social media presence describe you? And I thought that was good too, because again, it is different. I mean, the nuance of each of these three question ones is a little more specific, you know? Mm-hmm. Angela Clark Little, who is at Ange M. Little, says persistent, positive, and passionate. And I think for all three of the people that I chose, at least, and I'm seeing it in yours as well, they do very much represent the people that are tweeting these tweets.
I think so too. Tweety. I went with My Accidental Life, who is at Joan Haggy, and she said in and out because sometimes she's in chats and sometimes she isn't. And that's, yeah. I mean, that's where I see her. So yeah, I thought all of those were fun questions to ask. So
that tweet exchange that we just had there has a song going through my head.
Oh no.
I can't even do it like they do. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin? No? Okay. Question two.
Okay.
Sheesh.
How does your mindset of your school influence your teaching performance/relationship with others?
That's a good question. The mindset of your school mm-hmm. influence your teaching and performance relationship with others. I mean, personalized is kind of the mindset of our school. And I think in each interaction I have, I would hope that if a problem is given to me, I can help them in a very personal way related to them. Is that, yeah? No?
Yeah.
That's good?
Yeah, that's good.
That was my answer.
Oh, then it wasn't good enough. Just, do you have another answer?
Eric Justin Bates said, our attitudes are infectious regardless. So we have to choose which one we're going to have.
Right.
And I like that.
That's a good one, too. I know that at my school, I'm trying to help sort of be disruptive with pedagogical thinking, which can be a challenge, especially yeah. in higher ed. So the mindset of the school is we've always done things a certain way. And it hasn't involved technology, really. So trying to positively reinforce that this is not a bad thing.
So. I think that's a great idea.
So Chunksy Lore, I went with him on this one. He said, the mindset of the school is the culture of the school and what they want to accomplish, their values and dedication. The culture determines if I'm willing to fit into the school and succeed as a teacher. If I do not like the culture, I will not teach there. And I think as a new teacher, he's sharing some wisdom for future new teachers.
Yeah. I mean, especially in today's climate, you don't have to take the first job that comes to you.
Right.
So, if you're not digging it, sorry, administrators, if you're not digging it, then find somewhere you will be able to dig in and be yourself. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. Question three, give the importance of a positive mindset in the classroom. What happens to students learning when a positive mindset is overshadowed by negative thoughts?
So I remember my tweet to this was,
yeah, give it to us.
What learning? Question mark.
Say what?
What learning? What learning? There's no learning.
Why?
Because when a student walks into a classroom,
if it's overshadowed by negative thoughts.
Yeah, and you're just walking in there and there's nothing but negativity, whether it's from a circumstance that the student has come from or it's a situation that the teacher has cultivated, kids aren't going to learn.
You're right. No, that's very true. Or they're going to learn that negative thoughts do have impact and either had to keep those negative thoughts going, I mean, depending on who the leader is,
right.
and or that maybe someday they'll have an impact on, man, my teacher was always so negative and I got nothing out of that class. I'm not going to be that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Jessica Robinson is at Jess Rob. Jessica says, we can't overestimate a positive environment, but it's also it is also important to understand why kids are having negative thoughts. Life isn't perfect, and I want them to know that they are entitled to a bad day. I want them to feel heard and accepted no matter what. And I thought that was a great tweet. It reminds us that it's not just teachers that might have those negative thoughts or be projecting those negative thoughts. It's kids too, and they have every right to feel and have their bad days.
Right. I mean, they're little humans, just like we're big humans, and we don't always have great days.
Do you have a hard time when your kiddos have a bad day, seeing it as a bad day and not just disrespect, like your own personal kiddos?
No, not really. Like, if I know, like, if one of the kids rolls out of bed on the wrong side of the, or rolls out of the wrong side of the bed, and the day starts that way, I don't take it as a personal affront of disrespect. I'm like, dang, it's gonna be a long day, poor kid, like, you know, the shoes weren't tied right, or what, you know, whatever, it just happened to be that thing.
I think for the most part I tend to get over things quickly, and I think when my own kiddos don't get over it as quickly as I would think that they would want to get over it or should get over it, it does impact my thinking on them, and like I'm like, oh, I forgot you're having a bad day. Let me not think of that as disrespect.
Right. I know that with my son, he plays bassoon, and he has to get a lesson every week. And he's got an excellent teacher, but she puts him through his paces, and he doesn't always enjoy that. Okay. And so sometimes after a lesson, he'll be really grumpy. And it's just kind of gotten to a point where on the way to his lesson, I'm like almost telling him, you don't have permission to be upset with her for teaching you how to play the bassoon.
Right.
That's like, it's okay to make mistakes and to be corrected here. But you're not, you know, she's polite to you. She's encouraging to you. Like, she provides a good environment for you to learn in. So in this situation, you there's really no need to get upset. And
Hazelwood wisdom.
Yeah. And I know sometimes you shouldn't say that because you don't always know what's running through the kid's mind, but I feel like trying to let him know that it's okay to get the fingers wrong or play a note in the wrong spot or whatever while learning, like, that's okay. You don't have to obsess over that and be upset by it. I don't know.
No,
maybe I'm handling it wrong, but it seems to help him a little bit relax.
Twitter, let us know if Scott's handling it wrong.
Please do.
I'm a horrible mom.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me I'm a horrible mom.
Putting his head in the toilet and flushing it wasn't working. So so we try. So I went with Megan Lloyd here. Yay, Megan Lloyd. Woo! We've missed her. She said they can't learn. If a student is dealing with an unimaginable hurt and pain, their thoughts aren't on the classroom. Even if I share so much positive mindsets that can't make up for what kids are going through. You hear that, Marzano?
What?
What? So bad. Back on the kerfuffle. But yeah, sometimes real life just messes things up. And what are you going to do? There's nothing. Sometimes there's just nothing you can do when real life comes rolling through and knocks a kid sideways. Or you.
Yep, you're right.
How do you describe the climate of your school and classroom?
Thoughtful and experimental with organized chaos.
I like it. Okay. Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. That's me.
Yeah, that's good. My tweet here was something along the lines of, I'm in higher ed, and the struggle is real, because higher ed has now taken the place of the K-12 whipping post child, where K-12 is just really under the gun, as it were, and funding reduction. Higher ed now is in that same position in Oklahoma. So there's things that we need to be able to do on campus that we simply cannot do to meet our students' needs.
Right.
Because we just aren't able. And it's not like we're here spending money left, right, and center on wasteful things. It's just our funding. At what point does a public university like Oklahoma State, like University of Oklahoma, like, you know, USAO here, at what point do we become private universities because so much percentage of our operating budget comes from not a state funded
right
money?
It's so funding schemes are so hard to just get around.
Yeah.
Well, I went with Ann Beck's tweet here. As a matter of fact, you know, Twitter does this thing like, in case you missed it, here are some amazing tweets that we think you'll like. You know how they do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was reading that set of tweets the next morning, and I wasn't even paying attention to the who's. I just kind of scrolled through the what was said.
Yeah.
All I saw was, I taught middle school. We shut the door and the world out. My kids felt like they could be kids. We learned. We painted. We debunked Wikipedia. We built Central America in Minecraft. Best time of my life. And I thought, oh my God. Gosh, who is this teacher? Like, that's amazing. And then I looked and it was my friend Annie. So that really was how that came about. Like, I really didn't see who it was until after I just thought, I want to be this person. That's amazing. That's like, I love that.
And before you go adding at Aaron or at Ann about shutting the door, the situation that she was in was unique, because I think in a lot of ways we want to encourage teachers to open the door and collaborate with others and do some things. Sure. But in this instance, and if you'll talk with Anna about it, she'll tell you, it was a bit of a unique situation. And
yeah.
And so, but anyway, but yeah, right on. And she did do really great things. So I went with, Steve Gilland, and he said, word for school and my office, inclusive. We are all in this together. And I think sometimes we forget that
we can all be included in decisions and pedagogy and I love
even,
that.
Even our youngest of youngs can give you some ideas on how to better teach a class.
Oh yeah.
Just like as educators, we can give some ideas to administrators, just like building administrators can give ideas to district administrators. And so it can go up and down. And I think sometimes we just forget that that's an option.
Yep. Question five.
Yeah, let's do.
Other than laws, students want to attend school. And so I don't think the laws keep the want in there, but why they must be there. No, but I liked what Shanna Malone said here. And she said, attending school is a way to see friends or have security. However, at the high school, some students question why they have to take these classes for graduation. Connecting the classes to career choices, interests, and talents are necessary. We need to help students find their path. And I would agree with there. I loved going to school, the social event of school. I hated some of the courses I was made to take. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't make sense to me. And because I don't know what happened in Bartlesville, and it was a million years ago. I mean, I just had my 20-year reunion, so it's probably nothing by the administrators that are there now, but it just wasn't, nobody caught that I hadn't had 2 years of foreign language, or maybe it was new or something, but I ended up having to take Spanish 1 and French 1 in the same year.
to meet your requirement?
Yeah, and now it has to be the same language, you know, like it just was so frustrating. They're like, they're both romantic languages, you'll be fine, and they are nothing like each other.
Well, they have masculine and feminine words.
They do, but they're like they're not the same.
Le becomes la.
It was ridiculous. And so, but I was sitting here like, how is this going to benefit me, having a semester of each of these under my belt, or you know, anyway, a year of each of these under my belt. That's right. What I meant.
I know, and I think of this too, like in my own house. My son is not a super big fan of school. Like, if he could not go, he wouldn't. And so he doesn't mind learning.
Right.
So I just try and think, you know, what is it like with my own child? Like, what could be different so that when he gets up in the morning, he wants to go to school? And if you think about it, most younger students, elementary students and through sort of middle schoolish, want to go to school. And the older they get, the more resistance there is to being there.
I just think it really is, because they're like, well, you have to have this required elective. Required and elective do not belong in the same sentence anywhere unless you're at public school.
Right.
Right? I mean, elective is like, my choice, but it's required.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
tell me I'm wrong.
Nope, there's some trickeration there. And my tweet on this was, you know, make it so that there's fear, there's FOMO. Like, have some fear of missing out.
Yes.
Like, have a building, have a culture, have a class. I don't care what class it is, where if the kids want to show up because they're afraid of what they'll miss if they don't.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think that that's perfect.
So, I went with Sherry Gately here. By the way, guess what?
What?
Sherry Gately is a Teacher of the Year finalist for the state of Oklahoma.
Oh my goodness! How did I miss that?
I don't know. I saw the tweet.
I looked at the names of the people, and I guess I glazed over it. Sherry, congratulations!
You know, in that group are several Okla Ed participants, hot doggies. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. So. Sherry said, it is where they are safe, loved, nourished, literally and figuratively, and it provides them a pathway to a new life.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can help them understand all of that, I think that helps us get over the hump. What is the question six? What is the mindset of students who are engaged, intrinsically motivated, hopeful, and resilient?
So I love what Chongsu Lor had to say again. He said, those students are the ones who take initiative. They see education as a tool of enrichment, and they are not one of great burden. I learn from them just as much as I hope they learn from me. And I really liked that because, I mean, especially for some of us that weren't intrinsically, I don't know. It's just fun to see that kind of kiddo and their mindset on getting through the day to day.
Yeah. I went with Dina Rogers here. She's at Dina_Rogers. She said, they are not turned into truancy court. Winky emoji. They want to come to school. They put others ahead of themselves, which is rare for adults and kids alike. And I think that's true. Because I think when you look at students who are engaged, intrinsically motivated, hopeful, and resilient, my personal opinion is you're not talking about a large percentage of students here that satisfy all of those. Like you're talking about a special group of students. And I think I liked Dina's tweets so much because those kids do put others first because they're trying to bring everybody along with them because they're that engaged in it. They want to share that passion.
Yeah. No, I agree there.
So...
Question seven, what steps can we take to develop a positive mindset in ourselves as well as our colleagues? That's a good question. That one right there is a really good question. I remember just trying to be over the top and, you know, courageous in the way I approached lessons and collaboration. And I remembered, and it may have just been the building that I was in at the time, just being shut down by that. And that's frustrating because I was in a positive mindset, like let's take the world by storm, and you'll burn out on that soon. That's all I could.
Just hang in there a little, Missy. It'll go away.
Oh, you're a year one teacher.
Still wet behind the ears.
And so I tended to not get in spaces where I could get into the negative, mindset. Anyway, so I don't know how to develop my colleagues except for maybe if you find the right school, then you're with semi-like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to Chong's tweet earlier.
Yes, you're exactly right. But I went with the Stephanie Peppers tweet here because I thought it was good, and she is at Nerdy Firsties. She said, we have to not be afraid to fail. We have to encourage each other and root for each other and give each other some breathing room sometimes. And I really liked that the root for each other part was super awesome. I love positive praise. And even going down to my daughter's gymnastics, which is, you know, just little girls, but you can see them really rally around each other. If a kid is worried about hitting a backhand spring on the balance beam, you know, they're standing there, and all the kids are witnessing this kid on the balance beam not moving, trying to build up the gumption, and then all of a sudden one kid yells, let's go Maddie, or let's go Jolene, and then everybody starts rooting, and then you know, sometimes, most of the time, the kiddo kind of pulls it out and, it, you know, got over it. And it was all this rooting for each other. And I think that we as adults can learn a lot from that. And I really would like to see more positive, you know, cheers for each other. I love the idea of rooting for each other. Stephanie, you know what? That was awesome.
I think we forget that sometimes as adults.
Yeah.
Because I might behind the scenes be like, Aaron, you can do this. But I don't stand up in a crowd and go, come on, Aaron.
And you should.
All right. Next time,
I need that.
Next time you're doing a thing.
Okay.
I got you. I went with Amanda James, and she is at Flame451. She said, we must remember no one likes to work or be around or hang out with downers. Also, we have so much to be positive and joyful about in Oakland. Ed, we must model positivity, support, celebration, kindness, and forgiveness for others. That makes for an awesome climate and place of work. Hashtag Okla we for her building.
Yes. I do think that we have a lot in Oklahoma to be downers about, mm-hmm. but in the Okla Ed world, I do think that there is a lot of great peer motivation here.
Yes. I think the struggle is real, education-wise. But what Amanda is talking about are things that we can... There are amazing successes that we've got, and we can model, you know, those things that she said. She is right on.
Yep.
Because it's, I mean, it's okay to be frustrated with the system, but if you're always living in a world of cloudy skies with rain mixed with tornadoes, nobody's gonna want to hang around. But you know what? One of the things that I like about Okla Ed is, you know, sometimes we do fall into the pit of despair amongst ourselves, but also we're a collection of people with ideas. And so yeah. After we just get over ourselves, the ideas come out that it can at least lead somewhere, you know? And that's what I like. So.
Agreed.
Okay. Question 8, should we discuss the concept of mindsets in our staff meetings? So, hey, Aaron.
Yes.
How many things have we talked about over the past, I don't know, 3 months where it's like, all right, this needs to be part of our professional development or part of our staff meetings or part of our whatevers?
Yeah, we need training on.
So, insert the next item that is important, right?
Yes, mindset.
Yes, like I swear to God, I don't need another bloodborne pathogen. Like if it's wet and it's not mine, don't touch it. There you go, bloodborne pathogens covered. Now let's talk about other
true
things.
True or false? Like, sorry, you got to take a test. True or false? Should you touch wet things that don't belong to you?
False. No, true. You shouldn't touch. you phrased it wrong.
I know. Well, welcome to Oklahoma testing. Sorry.
But yeah, I think mindset is super important because if you talk to teachers, and my wife is a nurse and it's very similar, self-care between those two groups is horrible because they spend so much time caring for others.
Yeah, no, it's a rough world that we live in.
Certainly can be. Who'd you pick?
I picked Dr. April Grace. She is at Shawnee Sup.
Sup.
She says, more intentional about sending thank you and just because cards, random acts of kindness, more frequent. Create an ongoing culture of kindness.
Did you just... Was I picking my nose when you did that? Because I
may have
been. Dadgummit, shut up.
But I'm not going to touch it.
Okay, good. So I went with Cindy Blasey, LMSW, and she's at Cindy_Blasey. She said, I think we should be discussing self-care. What you feel inside is what you portray to others. It all starts within. I would love to see staff taking care assessments and creating plans of care. Aaron took another picture and didn't tell me to smile. So there's, while she was looking at the screen smiling, and I was reading the tweet, not looking at Aaron.
To be fair, I took a picture of me talking the first time, and it looked really rough. And you're in the dark anyway, so
I am backlit.
Okay, well, that was a great tweet, Cindy.
Indeed. Oh, take a shot.
Take a shot.
Question nine
is, write about this statement. A focus on social-emotional learning of students is not extra curriculum. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I have a hard time mandating that we have to take these certain things, and these things have to be mandated curriculum, and these things have to be extracurricular. So I mean, I don't know. Do you put a focus on social emotional learning in the same category as athletics? That's extracurricular.
Good question.
You know what I'm saying?
Or
do you go, well, we're going to make you take this social emotional learning course as an elective, but you have to have it to graduate. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I just have a hard time bossing people into things. Like, why did we deem that math, science, social studies, and English were the mandatory end-all be-all four things that we have to do? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I think there's other things that can be equally important to different students.
No, I like where you're at there. Jason Bangs said, it seems important to us when we talk about early childhood students, but for some reason as they mature, we ignore the vital aspect of students and learning. It may not be a standard, but it does impact learning. And so I think if there was a way to mindfully consider it, we haven't talked about John in a while.
No.
I think if there was a way to mindfully consider it, then, you know, it would be nice. Like, maybe if it was a piece, I mean, not that we all have to write the long 4-page lesson plan each week, but if there was a way to incorporate it into the lessons and lesson plans, then that's a totally different thing.
Right. Like something that occurred regularly during the school day as part of, here, this is what we do here in this building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. So I went with Jack Reed. He's at JL Reed 2011. He said, if you cannot connect with the students on a social emotional level, then how can any learning take place? It isn't until we as educators open up and be honest with our students that they will trust us enough to accept what we are teaching. I like that.
Yeah. Question 10.
Question 10. Write about this statement. Are we in English class? Did we?
I know. Here's your sentence starter.
Is Mrs. Waters English getting these down for her timed rights at the beginning of class? Write about this statement. All students are motivated, but unfortunately, some are dominated by avoidance motivation. So that's in quotes. As a way of protecting themselves from situations that they believe will lead to failure and humiliation and or emotional and physical exhaustion.
Good question.
So all students are motivated, but unfortunately, some are dominated by avoidance motivation.
And that's real.
You know, it's that whole thing where honestly, I've talked about my son a little bit in this podcast. This is an area of struggle for him. If he doesn't think he can come in and knock it out of the park, he won't do something. Even when he could do it, when I know as his dad, he can do that successfully, unless he knows 100% for sure. Now, he's taken some baby steps to kind of get out of that. He's an amazing kid. I'm not trying to talk bad about him, but like part of his little personality, not little personality, but part of his personality is sometimes he just avoids things that appear to be hard at first. Until he figures out that it's something that he can conquer.
Okay.
So yeah, I see it. It's real, and I'm trying to encourage him that failure is okay. It's okay if you mess up. Like, take a risk. It's all right. It won't hurt you. You know, play your bassoon. Work it hard. Like, make mistakes in the process because you're trying something so crazy awesome, and that's okay. Yeah.
Well, I went with an Andrea Crow tweet here, and Andrea is at @edpsych8.
Psych.
She said, agreed. This relates to negative thoughts and self-talks. This is why it's important for students to have teachers who remind them at times they have to succeed. So they have... reading. It's why it's important for students to have teachers who remind them of times when they have succeeded, where they started versus where they are now.
Right.
And I liked that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I went with Kristen Ashley on this one. She answered her own question. Sometimes I can relate to this statement. I can't blame kids for this motivation style when I too experience avoidance at times. I think we all do. I think there's things that we all come across where like, I really don't want to, like, I'm going to embarrass myself stepping over there. Even though there could be some significant growth and coolness on the other side of that initial step.
Right.
All right. Question 11.
One school's motto is, "We love you and there's nothing you can do about it." If you could write your school's motto, what would it be? I didn't answer this one. I didn't think to look for a question 11. My apologies.
I didn't see, this one came out late too, so I didn't see a lot of tweets here because there's a lot of conversation about question 10. But Andrea Crow, who's at EdPsych8, she said, "Big hearts, big dreams." I thought that's a good one.
Yeah, that's
you could,
great.
You could do a lot with that one.
Yes. Who is your boom sauce tweet?
Okay, so my boom sauce tweet was Andrea Crow at Psych8. She said, and this goes back to question 7, which said, "What steps can we take to develop a positive mindset in ourselves as well as our colleagues?" And she said, "Accept that there will be hurdles. Appreciate the journey. Recognize growth, whether it's in inches or miles. Be the person you want to be paired with and possess a magical playlist full of dance songs and upbeat music." And I was like, that right there is a boom saucer if I ever saw one.
Yeah, that's so great. That's great.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Man, there you go. Episode 72 in the books.
In the books.
Episode 73 with Stephanie Hinton.
Yeah.
What's it on?
It's on de-escalation and mindfulness.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that actually has already happened.
That did already happen. So you can review it through Twitter. And unfortunately, I missed the chat last night. My youngest daughter is in a soccer camp. And by the time we got home from all of that and sorted out, chat was pretty much over. So I wasn't able to get into it.
Well, I was able to get into it. I answered like the first 4 or 5 questions. And then my computer freaked out on me. So I'm headed to the Genius Bar next.
Oh, they're so nice there.
I mean, they are. They really are. But I hate it. It's a 30-minute drive for me. It's the only one near me. And even though I've made an appointment, I'll sit there for 20 minutes before I get seen.
Yeah, sometimes that's a struggle.
So it's just going to be a long evening. And it's my anniversary, so I don't want to.
Happy anniversary at the Apple Store.
Thanks. Let's get you a bill.
Take Travis to the Apple Store with you, and after your Genius Bar appointment, just pop down to the food court and celebrate your wedding anniversary.
At Annie Ann's.
Yeah, or what's another good food court? Sbarro Pizza? Do you guys Sbarro. Have a Sbarro? Honey, let me get you a big old slice of pizza for your anniversary.
And then we'll go to Nestle Toll House for dessert.
Yes, see?
See.
We just planned out an amazing anniversary evening. Who needs fancy steaks?
It's a great anniversary evening if you're 16 and have dated for 3 months. So, there's that. Just get people to go there with you, babe.
There you go. Just, right. I want to do anything with you. It's our anniversary. Just being in your presence is amazing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Twitter chats for Oakland Ed occur on Sundays at 8.
Sundays at 8, Central Standard Time.
Central Standard Time.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do.
Go on, dominate the world.
Take 3.
Do we have anything there?
You sound better. You look better.
I do sound better?
Yes.
Okay, well, good to know.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.